Before we go further in the service, if anybody has anything upon their hearts they feel like needs to be said or done. Brother Scott, you got something on your heart you'd like to? Okay. Just thought I'd ask. If you got your Bibles, you want to follow along, I'm going to go and start off with the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. The fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. And I know often we call the book of Revelation the book of Revelations. And I want to say this, and if you're in the habit of saying that, please try your very best to get out of that habit. Because it was one revelation that Jesus gave John. There was many different parts to it that John had to write out, 22 chapters, matter of fact. But all of that was underneath one revealing that Jesus gave John. And so, please, like I said, if you're in that habit, you know, try to get out of that. You know, I'm one of those that here lately, I've been trying my very best. And here lately, it's been my conviction to try to be as close and live my life as close to the Scriptures as possible. And for the reason of, I know that if I do my very best, that if I would conform myself to the image of God's dear Son, when we talk about conform to the image, made to resemble, you know, we're not just talking about the way that we act. We're not just talking about the way that we say things, but even the very way that we think. It needs to be conformed to the image of God. The very way that we think and have opinions. I know all of us that's here tonight, we can sit down, and let me tell you what, each and every single one of us will end up disagreeing about something because there's just so many different opinions that we have in our minds. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing to have opinions, but it's a bad thing to have an opinion that's not based off the Word of God. So if you have an opinion about something tonight, be sure it's backed up by the Word. If you're thinking about something tonight, be sure it's backed up by the Word. If it's not in the Word, we need to stay away from it. And that's just been my conviction here lately. I didn't mean to get on all that, but I guess with the sermon the Lord had me to preach this morning, there's a little nugget there for you too, so take that with you. But anyways, fifth chapter of Revelation, I'm going to start off with the eighth verse there. It says, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials, full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and every tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." I'm going to stop right there for just a few moments of time, and the thought that I've got upon my heart for tonight, we've actually talked about it a little bit in our preliminaries, in the prayer requests. The thought that I've got on my heart for the night is singing for the Lord. Singing for the Lord. And I tell you this, I enjoy the song service. I really do. I look forward to coming in the Lord's house and not only trying to lift up God and try to seek out His will, what He would have me to do, but I love the songs of Zion that we sing for our Lord. I love the good old hymns that we sing, and there's even some of the new music that's out there. I enjoy listening to them from time to time. But for the reason of, because even in the very verses and lyrics there, it's all trying to uplift Jesus Christ. Everything that we do, from the start of our service to the end of it, all needs to point to and accentuate Jesus Christ. Everything. And not just that, but each and everything that we do, when we wake up on Monday morning, to when we go to bed on Saturday night to get ready to come back to church the next day, everything we do from then on needs to be about trying to serve God to the best of our abilities. Now we see here tonight about in Revelation chapter 5 about them being around the throne and them singing. Them singing a new song, singing that thou art worthy to take the book. You're the one who was slain. You're the one who redeemed us to God by your blood. And that was something that I thought of whenever I first read that not too long ago, was the fact that even up in heaven, they were singing about the blood of Jesus. And we sing about that down here too, don't we? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I believe everything that the Bible talks about all goes back to the blood of Jesus and the shedding of His blood and the brokenness of His body for our redemption. That's what it's all about. From Genesis to Revelation, it speaks solely of just one man, Jesus Christ. It speaks from the Garden of Eden to Revelation when it says amen. It talks about the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you tonight, folks, if it is good enough that when we get to heaven for us to sing praises to our Lord, that it must be good enough while we're down here on this earth for us to try to sing praises to God. I believe that that's a good part of the service. I think it's an important part of the service. I don't think the whole gospel message is in all the songs that we sing, but I think there's little pieces here and there. And I believe this, when we sing songs for God and to God, we need to sing them out of the fullness of our hearts. Just like everything else we do, sing it out of the fullness of our hearts. From down deep within the heart and the spirit of us, that God would just get honor and glory out of it. I know lots of times we try to stand up and we try to sing, and some of us will probably hold back a little bit, or we'll probably start mumbling the words, and because we'll probably think, well, I just don't sound good singing, you know. Let me tell you this, it don't matter if you sing so bad the cows in the hills start running. But let me tell you this, the Bible says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He never once said it's got to be a good voice. He said to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And if you've been saved by the grace of God tonight, that is enough reason for us to make a joyful noise tonight unto God. You know, and I'll tell you this. It's really been on my heart for the last couple weeks to maybe take a Sunday night or two aside and try to just work on practicing singing new songs, you know. I don't know what anybody else thinks about that. Maybe we'll talk about that after service. But that's something that's just been on my heart, you know, because don't get me wrong, I like the songs that we sing, and it's nothing against Sister Rachel. I think she does a great job leading our songs, you know. And I think Brother Mark does a great job doing the piano playing and helping out with that. But you know, I've noticed from our churches down throughout the years, we've got a big old thick songbook, and we'll only sing about 8 songs in there. You know, and I think this, folks, if the song is scripturally backed up by the Word of God, and it is uplifting, and it accentuates the exaltment of Jesus Christ, why should we not sing it? Why should we not at least try to give it a try? Why should we not at least try to learn something new? Because that's what we are called to do on this earth and every single thing in our life, that it is for the exalting of Jesus Christ and for the abasement of mankind. That we would be less of ourselves and more of God. You see? Now, there was many a times, you know, Paul, he would write to the people there at the church at Ephesus, in the 5th chapter, in the 19th verse. Let's get there because I don't want to mess this up. But in the 5th chapter, the 19th verse, and Paul, he was writing to them, and he said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual singings, or spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, everything that we do, whether it comes to trying to follow the Lord and testifying, or maybe in trying to sing a song, if God wants you to do that, moves on your heart to do that, folks, do it. And I know that's elementary to try to sell that to a bunch of people, to a bunch of God's people tonight. But folks, let me tell you, I think sometimes we need to get back and teaching the basics, and that's if God moves on your heart to do something, do it. You have no excuse to try to sit down on God. You know, after we preached this morning, you know, God gave His very best for us. So I think it's only fair if we try to give our very best back to God. Now, once again, Paul there, when he was writing to the church at Ephesus, he said, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. He told Timothy there when he was writing to the young preacher, he said that you need to study to show yourself approved to God. Why is that? Because folks, let me tell you, at the end of the day, I don't answer to you. I, just in all honesty, I know that this is the church that called me to be the pastor, and I know that you have authority to do this and do that. But folks, at the end of the day, I don't answer to mankind. I answer to God and the work that He has called me and set me apart to do. And if it hurts people's feelings at the end of the day, then so be it. But let me tell you, we really need to be worried about God's feelings and about what God thinks about us and about what God sees fit and what God wants done. You see, well, I didn't mean to try to hammer you down 2 sermons in a row. You know, but I guess we'll just do our very best to what God wants us to preach tonight and let the chips fall where they lay. But you know, Colossians 3:16, you know, Paul, he goes on and he says the exact same words almost. He said, let the word of God, or let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. See, if everything that we do is to God and is for God, then it shouldn't matter what mankind thinks. It just really shouldn't. It shouldn't matter what my neighbor might think about me. It shouldn't matter what so-and-so might think about me. If as long as I'm trying my very best in this earthly tabernacle, in this flesh, to please God from the fullness and the depths of my heart, then that's all that matters. And one day I'll give an account to God for everything that I've done for Him and everything that I've done against Him. And you will too. You know, I think there's even an old song that says, God keeps a record book. And He does. Not just a record book of names that have been saved by His grace, but a record books of things that we have done for Him and things that we've done against Him. That's why I think it is important for the teaching of there being rewards in heaven, because there is. And folks, you can lose those rewards. You can lose those rewards. And that's important. That might be another sermon for another time or another Bible study discussion for another time. But folks, let me tell you, singing and making a melody to God from the depths of our heart is so important, not just in our public worship inside the sanctuary, but in our private worship to Him in our homes, at our jobs, and maybe just in the vehicle, heading to and fro from places. It's important. You know, we read a verse this morning. Great, great is our God, and greatly He is to be praised. There's no statute of limitations on that praising. Great is God, and greatly He is to be praised. There's no statute of limitations on what you should do, because if it's all trying to exalt Jesus Christ, then that should be it. Should be it. I'm going to try my very best not to preach a long one to y'all tonight, but at the same time, we want to try our very best to please God in the very same fashion. Acts chapter 16, of course, once again, very familiar. We read about how Paul and Silas, they were thrown in the Philippian jail there. And now, I was talking to somebody after service this morning, and I tell you this. There's a bunch of people in our churches down through the years that, you know, being saved by the grace of God, it's the greatest thing here on this earth and the greatest gift that anybody can receive. But let me tell you, the second God saves your soul, Satan will start fighting, and he'll start doing his very best against you and to get you. You know, what is it that Jesus told Peter one day? He said, Peter, he said, Satan desires to have you that he might sift you as wheat, that he might separate you from me. Folks, that is Satan's desire tonight, that we would be sifted as wheat, that we would be separated, that we would be hindered from our walk with God. And folks, I'm here to try to encourage you the very best way that I can. I don't care how bad of a voice you think you have. I don't care if you think it's going to make you look silly to somebody. I don't really care about all that. What I care about is following after the will of God and trying to please God in everything that we do. Amen. That's what I care about. Because I don't want any of us. I don't want any of you to be sifted as wheat. I don't want you to be separated. I'm not saying you can lose your salvation, because you can't, but I don't want you to separate your walk with God for the pleasures of the world. It's just not worth it. Just not. And not just that, but there's also, like we talked about, rewards. There's benefits and consequences to everything that we do in this mortal body. There he is. But you know, 16th chapter of Acts, Paul and Silas, they were thrown in the Philippian jail here. And let me tell you, it could have been, they could have easily, when they were beaten and thrown in jail, they could have easily just sat in that jail and just rotted. Just in all honesty. They could have easily just went into that jail. They could have easily just sat there. Okay, they could have easily just moped and groped and whined about the condition that they was in. They could have easily just sat there and started complaining about the condition that they were in. But folks, let me tell you, they did not. And let me tell you, I'm so thankful. You know, my mind keeps going back to that cloud of witness that we were talking about in Sunday school this morning. I'm so thankful for the examples that God has placed in my life for a great cloud of witness. But not just that, but the examples that the Bible give us for these great men of old. How they've left about a good cloud of witness for us to follow after and strive to achieve. You know, Satan, the very second we get saved, tries his very best to tempt us and torment us. Let me tell you, the walk with God is not an easy walk at all, but it is the most blessed walk you will ever have in your life. It is the most rewarding walk you will ever have in your life. My dad, growing up, I promise I'll get to this verse of scripture in a second, but my dad, growing up, you know, I remember after I owned my call to preach there as a 15-year-old boy, you know, I remember Dad, he sat me down one night and he looked at me and he said, "Son, I just want to let you know one thing. This road that you're about to walk, it's going to be the toughest road that you'll ever have to walk. It's going to be the toughest road that you'll have to hoe, you know." But he said, but the rewards and the benefits, oh, they'll outnumber all the hardships that you'll go through. He said, all you have to do is just stick with God through it all. And let me tell you this, I can tell you throughout my 8 years of trying to preach and trying to stand for the Lord, not just in a public building, but in my personal life with my family and my coworkers. Folks, let me tell you, it is the hardest walk that I've ever had to endure. Oh, but God's paychecks are the best paychecks. God's rewards are the best rewards. And there's an old song that even says, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. And that's exactly how I feel. I wouldn't take nothing for it. Oh, you know, well, I guess I'll just be preaching to you in a bunch of songs tonight. I don't know. But you know, there is another song, oh, that I started listening to about a year ago. Oh, and it really blessed my heart. And it's something that I never thought about. But it goes, God, I thank you for the valley that I walk through today. You know, life can't be all sunshine because the flowers, they die. The river, it just be so desert, so barren and dry. Life can't be all blessings because if it were, there'd be no need for me to be down on my knees and pray. So God, I thank you for the valley that you're having me to walk through today. And that's exactly how I feel. That's exactly how I feel through all the valleys God puts me through. Folks, if you're in a valley right now, thank God for it. Because let me tell you, the second you get on top of that mountain and you're with the glory of the Lord and you're seeing all the beauties and beholding all His beauty and all His glory, oh, you wouldn't think nothing about those hardships. All you would say is, God, thank you for the times you had me down on my knees and me trying to be closer to you. Folks, there's a reason that we should sing praises to God Almighty. There's a reason for it. Anyways, 16th chapter here in Acts. I think I'll try to get to this now. But in the 16th chapter of Acts, you know, they were thrown in that jail. Like I said, they could have very well easily just threw up their hands and said, that's it, I'm quitting. No, 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 no. That didn't happen. Very first thing they did is that Bible says that Paul and Silas, they got in there and they prayed and sung praises to God. Now, let me tell you this. The Philippian jailer, he went away from his duties. And I believe, if I'm not wrong, he wandered about somewhere and fell asleep, you know. And let me tell you this. I believe tonight, you know, God can touch anybody. And if God has a song on your heart, once again, I don't think the songs that we have the full gospel message in them, but there's enough bits and pieces in there that God can use to prick the stony hearts of lost individuals. I don't know what song Paul and Silas might have sang. I don't know. Sometimes I like to think, if I'm in that position, Brother Scott, what would I sing? You know, how great thou art, how great you are. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Amazing grace. I don't know what I would sing. I don't know what they sung. But let me tell you this. What I do believe is that through them singing to God and praying, I do believe that there was something that they done to there that God used. And I believe it got to somebody. Now, the scriptures don't quite say this. This is just Micahism. This is in the book of Micah Barber, so you can take it for what it's worth. I don't know how far away the Philippian jailer was, but I like to think maybe he heard something through them. I don't know. But you know what the Bible does say is that there came a great earthquake. Oh, and it destroyed the place there. The Philippian jailer, he was so worried because he was away from his duties. He thought they escaped. And so the Bible says he was ready to kill himself. And Paul and Silas spoke out and they said, "Sir, don't do yourself any harm. We're here. We didn't escape. We're still here." Now, this is why I believe something might have got to him. Because the very first thing that came out of his mouth was, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" Folks, let me tell you tonight, I don't care if God wants you to sing "How Great Thou Art" or "Sweet Beulah Land." I don't care if he just wants you to stand up and tell your testimony. But let me tell you, in all things that God puts on our hearts to do, there's a victory that needs to be won in that. There is. There's somebody that it can help. Somebody that it can encourage. You know, Sister Roberta was talking about the songs that were sung last night at New Life. Oh, they encouraged my heart. Oh, they really did. And lots of times, that's what good songs to the Lord does. Is it encourage you? It encourages you to keep on keeping on. Keep on walking that road that you're on. Because, folks, there is a victory at the end of each and every one of our battles that we face. And I'll say this before I go on. I do think that there are some songs out there that they just try to stir up human emotion. And you'll probably disagree when I say this, and that's okay. But they try to stir up human emotion. And for that, I would say, stay away. Just in all honesty. There's some songs, you know, that you'll find that don't line up with the Word of God at all. To that, I say, stay away. If it's about uplifting man and it's about man's opinion, you don't need to sing that or listen to that at all. Period. Because let me tell you this. What we put in our minds will eventually come down into the heart. And what is it that Jesus said in Luke 6:45? We preached on a little bit this morning. Out of the fullness and the abundance of the heart will a man speak. Will come out of his mouth. You know, you can tell when somebody is trying their best to serve the Lord and is trying their very best to please God. Because the very first thing that will come out of their mouths almost 24/7 will be something to do about God. And you know what I say about that? It's, I love being around those people. I love being around them. Oh, because it encourages me and it makes me want to be more like them. That my mind would just be wrapped up around God and His Word 24/7 from the time that I wake up to the time that I fall asleep. That I would be all about God's business. And like I said, there's some contemporary songs that I enjoy, in all honesty. There's some, I don't think they'd harm anything if you sung them in worship. I really just don't. Because it's about uplifting Jesus. But then there's some, the second they come on the radio, I turn them off. Or I turn to another station. Because it's not about God at all, it's about man. So folks, as I say this to you, be careful what you try to sing to God. Be careful and watch out. Now, the Bible says this in Psalms 100, and I'll try to be done. Psalms 100, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Didn't say nothing about whether it had to be good or bad. It just said joyful. Why? Because, folks, once again, if you've been saved by God's grace, you have something to be joyful about down deep within your heart. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Now isn't singing important? If it's all throughout Scripture, from Psalms and Revelation and Ephesians and Colossians and Acts, I believe there are some songs in Exodus and Deuteronomy that was written down by Moses there. What did that tell me, that singing is important? It is. It is. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. I want to get to this and I'll be done. Solomon, when he took reign there was a queen from another country that heard about how God was blessing Solomon and was prospering his kingdom and his reign. And so she wanted to go over and meet him. I cannot tell you exactly where it's at in 1 Kings, but if you want to come to me after service, I'll gladly sit down and thumb through the Bible with you and find it. But I do know it's there because I just read it last night. Actually, I wrote it down somewhere. But you know, in 1 Kings, it talks about how this queen came over to Solomon and she saw the servants that Solomon had. And the servants that Solomon had, they were glad to be a servant. They were glad to be next to him and to be able to serve him. And folks, let me tell you this. I want to be around somebody who is a glad servant of the Lord. I want to be around somebody who's a happy servant of the Lord. Because let me tell you what, God's done too much good for me to just sit around and pout about how bad things are on a day-to-day basis. He's done so much good to me, folks, that it is worth me trying to be a glad and a joyful servant for Him. At all, once again, don't see me, but they see Jesus. In the songs that we sing, that they don't see us, but that they see Jesus. And that's why I believe it's important to sing from the depths of our heart, making melodies to the Lord. Because when you sing from the depths of your heart, how great thou art, or just a little talk with Jesus, or Beulah Land, or whatever it is that God wants us to sing, that we sing. If we sing it from the depths of our heart, let me tell you, it can cause the Spirit of God to stir among us. and be with us. And it throws a little wood in that fire for us to continue to try and serve and worship God. It helps us and aids us in our service. Now, I'm not saying that singing is the full service, because the songs in the beginning, all they ever do is point to and accentuate towards the Word of God. And then the song that's sung after the preaching is done needs to be there to help stir the hearts of the hearers of what was just said. Once again, I think Sister Rachel does a good job being our song leader. I really do. I think she puts in a lot of effort into it. I think Brother Mark puts in a lot of effort into his piano playing, and especially the times that she's not here, he puts in a lot of effort in trying to aid the song leading. I appreciate that. But you know what? When they make song requests, anybody want to hear anything? Even then is important. Lord, what would you have me to sing to you today? What would you have me to do? What would you have me to say? There's been so many times that I've been discouraged about what it is God has placed upon my heart. And then lots of times I'll hear Sister Rachel start there, somebody from the crowd start singing. And whatever they're singing goes right in line with what God places on my heart. And that gives me confirmation that I know I'm where I need to be at. That helps me out. Now, let me tell you this. I promise you I'm almost done. But you also need to pray after the preaching's done. Pray for the preacher as he preaches. Pray for your pastor as he preaches. But after the preaching's done, to then pray, not only, God, what would you have me to do, but God, what would you have us to sing? That would help the benefit of your word to stir in our hearts. I've been in a service one time. I'll say this and I'll hush. I've been in a service one time when the preacher, all he ever preached about was hell. And he preached, and let me tell you, with the help of the Lord, he done a great job of preaching about that place and giving the lost a good picture about what it is they need to stray away from. And then when the song service, the song leader came up, they said, turn your books to Sweet Beulah Land. We're going to sing Sweet Beulah Land. And I started to think to myself, well, that's the complete opposite of what he just talked about. You know? Everything that we do needs to be in line with the Word of God, for the Word of God, and for the exalting of Jesus Christ. I'm done. I hope and pray somebody got something out of that. I really do. And let me tell you, Satan's been fighting me hard all day today. And man, it made me joyous to see everybody that's come out tonight after this morning. And so for that, I want to thank you for doing that. I wonder if anybody has anything upon their hearts that they just feel like needs to be said or done. Maybe a song you want to sing, or maybe a praise that you need to say tonight.